Does this feel familiar? Have you ever felt so overwhelmed that you just feel paralyzed? Maybe the dishes keep piling up, the emails keep coming, your brain feels like it's buzzing, and no matter how hard you try, you just can't get going.
I gotta get up. I can do it. Probably won't take that long. How long would it actually take? Let's do it. All right, Christy. You need to get up off this ground. You need to put on some PJs. Let's go. Okay.
Christy just spent 2 hours frozen on her porch. You start wondering, what's wrong with me? Like, why can't I just do the thing? But here's the truth. Nothing's wrong with you. Your nervous system is just overwhelmed, and it's hitting the gas and the brakes at the same time. So in this video, I'll show you 5 small practical nervous system shifts to help you get moving again, gently, without shame. So whether you have ADHD, depression, burnout, or whatever's stopping you, we're going to take a nervous system-friendly approach to getting started and getting stuff done. Okay, so first, let's talk about what's going on in your nervous system. If we take a look at the polyvagal ladder, when we're feeling overwhelmed, it's when we're stuck in anxiety, the sympathetic or activated state, and the shutdown state. It's like your foot is on the gas and the brakes at the same time.
Like, I can feel like the overwhelm actually setting in, and I'm like, Oh, this feels like we're gonna be on doing nothing for a few hours and just scroll on our phone. This feels like I'm gonna lay down and I'm not getting back up.
Holy cow. And because you're in a fear state, you can't pressure yourself into thinking more clearly. That pushes you further down into shutdown. You can't think your way out of a dysregulated body. Your emotional brain, the limbic system down in here, cannot tell the difference between a mountain lion and an inbox full of emails. So its job is survival. So it shuts down your problem-solving circuits and pumps out all these stress hormones to get you to fight, flight, or freeze. Which is how we got stuck here. Now, a lot of people shame themselves. They think, oh, I should be able to do this. But the more you pressure yourself, the more fear you feel, and the harder it is to move up the ladder into action or safety. So you've got to regulate first and then problem solve second. So let's talk about how to do that. Step one is to change your state. So instead of pressuring yourself to be different, you need to show yourself that you're capable and that you're safe. You need to change your nervous system state before you change your tasks. So let me give you an example. One morning, my 6-year-old would not get out of bed for school. She was just frozen in bed with dread. Now, I was short on time, I was sleep deprived, and I started feeling really irritable. I did not want to just yell or threaten her. I didn't want to be all angry. So, and to be honest, I do not do this all the time, but I thought, oh, how can I make this fun? So I told her, I said, hey, we can do this the robot way, the D2D2 way, or we can do this the angry way. Now, the robot and the D2D2 way are games that we've played before when we're doing chores and stuff. So I was like super shocked when she chose the angry way, because that's the one I was trying to avoid. But because I'd already framed this as a game, when I said to her, like in this exaggerated, loud, angry voice, Grace, you have to get dressed right now. She giggled. So then when I grabbed her legs, she laughed even more. Doing this as the angry way as a game made the whole thing fun for both of us. And pretty soon she was getting moving and getting dressed. So making it a game shifts your state from fear to play and helps you get activated instead of frozen. We'll talk more about gamifying things later, but what's important here is to do it in your nervous system, to do it in your body. You've got to restore safety with your self-talk. So instead of saying something like, I'm so overwhelmed, I'm such a loser, why can't I just get it done? All of that adds more fear, which keeps pushing us down this ladder, right? Instead, you might use some positive self-talk, like saying like, okay, there's no fire here. There's no fire. This is not life or death, okay? I'm not a bad person. I'm just having a hard time prioritizing right now. So you've got to use like positive framing in your talk to yourself to help you change the direction of this arrow from like more and more fear to like more and more safety.
I've had to learn this skill. Okay. Over a very long period of time, like over this, I've been practicing it this whole year, and I still, you know, I still have to like intentionally do it. When I'm actually overwhelmed, like I'm in the middle of it, like I can't do anything. I have to first regulate myself.
Now let's talk about how to change that state in your body. ADHD brains often get stuck because they're understimulated or overstimulated. Anxious brains often get stuck because they're flooded with stress chemicals. So before doing anything, let's provide the body an opportunity to change states. Anything that provides more action or more sense of safety helps. So there's a couple things you can try. One is slowing down your body and taking a breath or adding in some vibrations like tapping your face or humming or singing. All of this can help send a message to your nervous system that you're safe. Or even just talking to yourself can help. Now for me, when it comes to deep breathing and slow breathing and calming myself down, this honestly literally does not work that well for me. And here's why. One of the interesting things about the polyvagal ladder is that most of the time we have to move through activation to regulate. So for me, I'm usually only able to calm myself down after some kind of movement, like going for a short walk or doing some jumping jacks. When you move your body, it helps your nervous system shift from shut down to the activated state. There's some other things you can try too, like sensory stimulation, changing that sensory environment for yourself. This could look like drinking some really cold water, putting on some high energy music, maybe changing environments like working from a coffee shop or a library. So the important thing to remember is you're not lazy. Your brain needs a state shift to unlock action. So you regulate your nervous system first. Your brain is kind of like a child. It listens more to what you do than what you say. So you can't just tell yourself, I'm safe. I shouldn't feel this way. That doesn't work. You have to show your nervous system that you're safe and capable by doing something with your body and your senses.
Just telling myself, oh, I can do it, is not as effective as actually like doing mini experiments over and over and over again and having evidence every single time. Oh, I did it. Oh, I did it. Oh, I did it.
Yeah.
Maybe this next time I can do it again.
So it's not just about like getting calm. The goal here isn't just to be calm all the time. It's about taking your foot off of the brake so that you can get some action done. Okay, so step two is externalize everything. Whether you've got too many projects at work or your ADHD brain is like on fire, or you're a postpartum parent with a cranky baby and you have serious sleep deprivation. Maybe your mind is firing off a million things that you should be doing. This literally feels like a survival threat and it triggers the fight, flight, freeze response. Too many things to remember and pay attention to overwhelms your ability to sort and process. It feels like a threat. You can't hold everything in your head at once. Multitasking literally feels like a threat. If you think of your busy brain as a pen with 10 colors, being overwhelmed isn't laziness. It's like your brain is trying to push down all of the 10 colors at once, which means none of them work. Your brain freezes because it's trying to do everything at once. And that pressure is stressful, which adds to your overwhelm. And when you're stressed, your emotions turn down the thinking part of your brain, right? ADHD, one of the things with ADHD is it makes it really hard to filter tasks and figure out which one is most important. The recipe for overwhelm is too many tasks and lack of clarity. So what you need to do, instead of saying, I'm so overwhelmed, my life is so hard, it's not the tasks that are the problem. The clarity is what you need to do. You need to increase clarity. So you need to say, instead of saying, I'm overwhelmed, say, I need to decide what matters most and go slow. When you say this, I need more clarity. I need to decide what matters most. When you say this, your brain stops firing alarm signals and it starts organizing information again. So talk to yourself nicely. Okay. We need to increase our clarity around the task. You don't need more pressure. You need more clarity. So which color should I start with? Oh, I'll go with this one. Ta-da. Clarity reduces anxiety more than doing everything does.
I try to get myself regulated first, and then I sit down and I'm like, okay, what absolutely has to be done today? Or what can be done later? Like, be really honest with yourself. Is it, yeah. Do you actually have to do it this week? Do you actually have to do it today? Because a lot of the time, my overwhelm is like, if I don't do everything all the time right now, everything's going to crumble. Everything is going to crumble and you are going to lose everything and everything you worked for is going to be gone.
Catastrophe.
You don't hold everything together all the time and you're perfect.
Huh.
That is how I feel on the inside.
Holy like, cow.
All the time.
Yeah.
And holy it's exhausting.
Cow. That sounds exhausting.
So to do this, we need to support our processing. And to do that, we need to externalize everything. That means you need to get this list out of your head and dump your to-do list onto paper. Okay. Next, cross off anything that's not urgent or important, and then just circle three actionable things. Now, if writing all of this down on a piece of paper still feels overwhelming, you can write it all down on a piece of paper and then put that paper to the side and write on a post-it note the next thing you're going to do. Just one small step. Okay, and then you can just hide that piece of paper with the list. If you get your one post-it note done today, that's a success, okay? You're not trying to make the perfect plan. You're just trying to turn that brain noise into a list. The brain hates confusion more than it hates work. Okay, so externalize everything. You've got to make it physical. You've got to make it visual. And then you've got to choose what's most important. Now, this works as a short-term crisis method, like this brain dump. But in the long run, if we really want to manage overwhelm, we've got to create these external systems to help you remember and organize stuff, like visual calendars, using whiteboards, or setting reminders on your phone. Okay, step number three, shrink the task. So shrink the task until it's almost embarrassing. There is a popular book out there titled Eat That Frog that basically says, do the hardest thing in your day first. Eat that frog. But for people who are paralyzed with stress or ADHD, that can lead to like endless overwhelm and procrastination. Eating the frog is not helpful. So instead, start with the smallest task first and get some momentum. And guess what? It doesn't matter if you start with a ridiculously small and easy task. When you've done a tiny task, you gain confidence, which fuels momentum for the next task. So don't clean the kitchen. You're going to put a plate in the sink. Don't say like, I have to finish this report. You're going to set a task like, I'm going to open the document and write the first line. Getting a little bit of momentum can help your nervous system shift from I'm helpless to I can do this. Okay. It's going to help your nervous system feel more capable and more safe. And that can help you get out of that freeze or overwhelm state. And by the way that dopamine works is that action actually fuels motivation, not the other way around. So dopamine comes from doing stuff. Motivation comes from doing stuff. One of the things I think is really important with this is you might have to limit your sensory input to do this. So like with the pen example, you've got to be pushing down less colors at once. Casey Davis, she's the author of How to Keep House While Drowning. She recommends like closing doors to messy rooms in your house or covering up the dishes in your sink with a towel so that you can decrease that overwhelm, decrease that noise, right? And just work on one tiny problem at a time. Like put one sock away, title of the document, write one sentence. Okay, so that's number three. Instead of eat that frog, just get moving. Movement leads to motivation. Don't make yourself do the hardest things first. You can do the hardest tasks when you're most motivated. Just start small and build momentum as you go. And I think another thing that's important to know with motivation is it's really important to celebrate tiny wins. So that might look like check marks. Check off everything. If you finish something and it wasn't on your checklist, write it down and check it off anyway. Every check mark gives a little dopamine boost, which gives you more motivation in the future and helps you feel more capable. Okay, step four, make the task more interesting, not more disciplined, right? You don't need more discipline. ADHD is not a motivation problem, it's a dopamine regulation problem. So boring tasks can feel physically painful to ADHD brains. You don't need more self-control. You probably need to make the task more interesting. And again, we're shifting states, but we're actually making them more intense instead of more calm. So you would ask like, how can I add novelty? How could I gamify this? When I was a kid and I had to mow the lawn, I would imagine there was like an Olympic sport of efficient lawn mowing. Like how fast could I do it while doing it well and making like the wheel of the lawnmower run just right along the last row that I'd mowed. And that was one way to gamify this, right? Gamifying is a great way to shift states and make tasks more fun. So Christy Newritson does this by filming herself, timing herself, dancing, doing it with friends. And
does adding in filming and adding in intensity help you actually be motivated to do something?
Yes, I would say it does make it harder, but it also adds more motivation.
Yeah, like activation, right? Like movement, yeah.
Yeah, because I get that reward, and like there's like this added like, oh, I'm being filmed at the same time. So it definitely adds like a fire underneath me to get it done.
Yeah.
And by the way, when she notices how long it takes, which is not that long, and she writes it down, that actually reinforces to the brain that tasks in general are surmountable. Another favorite creator is Dani Donovan. She has some really amazing ways to do this in her anti-planner planner. Look, I have it here. This is not a paid promotion. I just like Dani. Here's a few of my favorites. Use your microwave timer as a countdown clock. So you put like a warm drink or leftovers in for 2 minutes or whatever, and then you race to see how much you can clean in the kitchen in that time before your microwave chimes. The other one I really like is procrastination blackjack. You write down 3 small tasks that you've been putting off for a while, and then you play blackjack with yourself. If you hit a perfect 21, you don't have to do any of the chores. Woohoo! If you score 18 to 20, you do 1 task right away. If you score under 17, you do 2 tasks. And if you go over 21, you have to do all 3. I just think that's a fun game. Okay, body doubling is another great way to add novelty and support and motivation. I do this with gardening or other deep cleaning chores that I avoid. We schedule an hour with a friend and take turns at each other's houses doing these things. My ADHD therapist friend, KJ, offers virtual body doubling over Zoom. Or even just like texting someone, be like, hey, I'm about to start cleaning my bathroom. Or talking with them on the phone while you clean your kitchen, like all of that can help. KJ, just by the way, KJ also helps with live calls for my members. My membership has 10 courses to help you regulate your nervous system and work through anxiety or trauma and build up your emotion processing skills. So if you want to learn more ways to process your emotions, check out the link in the description. Okay, step 5. This is the last one. Don't time plan. Time box. Planning a time to work on a task can feel really overwhelming because that can require you to kind of predict your energy, your focus, and your mood. Instead, try time boxing. Set a 10 to 20 minute timer and work until it ends, even if you don't finish the whole task. And this makes it easier because you know, like, this is not an endless task. It'll help protect you from like perfectionism and burnout cycles. So honestly, it's easier to get things done when you only have a few minutes or hours to do them. In grad school, I would rotate through dreary tasks. I would do like 30 minutes of research, and then I'd do 30 minutes of biking, and then 30 minutes of writing an essay, and 20 minutes to eat dinner, and then 30 more minutes of reading. So rotating those times can be really helpful. I think just forcing yourself to commit to something for 20 minutes is a great way to do hard things. And that's when I use my Pomodoro timer to help myself with this. So it's just easier when you say like, oh, I only have to work on this for 20 minutes and then I can stop. Decreases that overwhelm quite a bit. I did this with my taxes. I thought they were going to be so hard and so painful. I forced myself to do them. They took too long, but it was less than I expected. Okay, so when you're stuck in overwhelm or ADHD paralysis, don't just try harder and be more organized. Do these 5 steps instead. Shift your nervous system state, externalize everything, shrink the task, make the task more interesting, or time box. Okay, is that too many ideas? You could just, if you're having a hard time getting started right now, pause the screen and do this. 20 jumping jacks, write down the first task, make it tinier, tell your friend you're getting started, and set a 10-minute timer. Okay, there you go. That's how you're gonna get started. Just like making any change, you've got to start small enough that you know you can make it happen. I would love to hear your comments on one thing you did to start building motivation and momentum. Hey, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate the work you're putting in to becoming a better person every day. And thank you so much, and please take care.